Like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Amen.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. And there is no addendum this evening. I did want to make a correction with respect to the presentation and delegations for item C. It actually should be Linda Scott, not Linda Roberts. And I noticed that the chamber has been invaded by a pride of lions. And it's nice to have you here. I don't really have any announcements this evening, but I did want to ask Councillor Butler if she would like to make comment about the forthcoming party on the patio.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, on May 20th, we're going to be hosting our second party on the patio. It's called Fire and Ice. And it will be a special event on May 20th because it will be the culmination of the two high schools' final reunion. Fire and Ice will be hosting three different bands that night. The Associates will be our feature band, and A Different Spin will be playing and actually choreographing our fire performance for the evening. So we're looking forward to attendance. We're over 25% sold, and the early bird prices finish this week, so you'll have to pay full price after Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to remind everyone that Earth Day is coming up on April the 22nd, and there are a number of cleanup opportunities across the town, so that if any of you wish to participate, you should get in touch with the town and let us know if you're where you're planning on doing that. And of course, this weekend is Easter weekend. So, are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, there's just one upcoming public meeting, and that is with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment for 3303 Dominion Road. That meeting will be held Tuesday, April the 18th, 2017 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Council Chambers. And the information report with respect to that will be available on our website on April the 12th, 2017. That takes us to the Regional Councillor and your report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening. You're welcome. Welcome. A busy 2 weeks since I last presented to Town of Fort Erie Council. I'll start off with some incredible news. As you are well aware by now, that Niagara was the winning recipient of the Canada 21 Games. Wonderful on many, many fronts, specifically on an economic development front, where those games are expected to generate anywhere between $150 to $200 million. Absolutely incredible opportunity, not only for the region, but certainly for the town of Fort Erie, who will be one of the host sites for one of the sporting events at the Buffalo Canoe Club. So we look forward to those kind of improvements that are going to be going on at the private facility, the Buffalo Canoe Club, but piggybacking on the wonderful initiative that this council had the foresight to undertake, which is the improvements in Crystal Beach. And those will be hopefully coordinated, and they will be ready, and it will be a great opportunity to showcase not only the wonderful amenities that Crystal Beach and certainly the town of Fort Erie have to offer, but certainly the southern half of Ontario. So incredible news. We're expecting close to 5,000 athletes, friends and family of those athletes, and certainly close to 20,000 visitors who are going to be taking in those Canada Summer 21 games. So great initiative there. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to visit Queen's Park, and I did have the opportunity to hand-deliver this council's resolution with respect to the Great Lakes Water Quality Initiative and the funding and the anticipated funding cuts proposed by the U.S. federal government. So Minister McGarry does have that resolution in her hand. We have committed certainly at this level of government, certainly at the regional level of government, certainly at the MPCA, that we will do everything that we can to make sure the health and prosperity of our waters. Certainly the Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, and the Niagara River are well looked after. But as you know, that requires an incredible partnership with our U.S. partners. So we're hoping that saner heads prevail, and whatever the funding envelope is to ensure Great Lakes water quality, we want that to continue on the U.S. side. We're doing our part here on the Canadian side. We want to make sure that our U.S. partners are doing that on their side as well. I had the opportunity to take part in an invasive species workshop. Incredible information coming forward from our municipal partners, and hopefully we'll share that with town staff and certainly this council, how we can be a little bit more proactive with respect to invasive species along our water corridors and certainly our Great Lakes. I did attend the International Joint Commission on Great Lakes water quality. Again, some great initiatives. We're going to require some incredible commitments from our federal, provincial, and certainly regional partners to make sure that we're leaving a very strong legacy of environmental stewardship, not only for this generation, but for the next generation as well. Great news. Anyone that happens to drive by Highway 140, you see the skeleton of the new GE plant up. That's an incredible initiative, 45,000 square meters on over 30 hectares along Highway 140 between Silverthorne Road and Buckner Road. Presently, right now, there are opportunities for close to 250 employees that will have jobs in the new Brilliant factory, in the new Brilliant GE factory. So some great news on the economic development front, not only for Welland, but certainly for all of Niagara, because, as we know, we do have a strong mobile labor force here in the town of Fort Erie, and we know that the majority of our employed residents either have to travel outside of Fort Erie or certainly through the rest of Niagara in order to get employment. So again, just a great initiative, and congratulations to all those people that were involved in bringing the GE factory here. That's pretty much it. It has been a very good news story for the past couple of weeks, and I look forward to questions or comments from council.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. Any members of council, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Councillor Nunziata. Just talking about the cut funding on the U.S. side for the Great Lakes, will that have any impact on the Ramsar designation or put it at risk in any way?
We're hoping it won't. Ultimately, there's been an incredible amount of work and resources that have gone into the Ramsar. And for those in the gallery that don't know what Ramsar means, it's not an acronym. Actually, Ramsar is a place in, I believe, in Iraq. And basically, what we were looking to do from a Niagara regional perspective and certainly a provincial perspective was to designate the Niagara River a Ramsar site. And now, there's only a few Ramsar sites in Canada. I think there's 300 Ramsar sites throughout the world. And basically, there's a scoring matrix. In order to have this this impressive designation, all these scores, I think it's 10 specific items have to be checked off. The great thing about Niagara River is all 10. All 10 of those boxes have been checked off, so it's an incredible opportunity to not only delist the Niagara River, which has been on one of the most contaminated sites since probably Love Canal in the 70s, but we are very close to delisting that that Niagara River and giving it a clean bill of health by 2021, I believe. So we did just extend a job opportunity offer to a new coordinator that's coming in to the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority. We're going to continue collaborating with the Ramsar Committee. Hopefully, that designation will be coming. As far as the funding, I'm hoping it does not impact what we do on our end of things, but certainly looking for the partnership from our U.S. Partners, and they are all in on the American side. Ultimately, though, as you mentioned, there is a funding envelope that they have to draw from. So I'm hoping that it's not going to impact moving forward with that designation. So just to let everyone in the gallery know that in order to move forward with this, it needed mutual consent, not only from Fort Erie Council, Niagara Falls Council, and certainly Niagara-on-the-Lake Council. So as far as I know, all three of those councils have gone forward with the consent and certainly with the advocacy to have the Niagara River nominated as a Ramsar site.
Just to be clear, Councillor Nunziata, you're directing your comments through the chair.
Yes.
As opposed to the gallery.
I'm just informing the gallery, but yes, through the chair.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. The only other item I have for the regional councillor is that some citizens in my ward, my constituents, have expressed concern over speeding down Stevensville Road, and they were wondering if the Police Services Board would be willing to come to Fort Erie and meet here, and if they could make a delegation at that time to the Police Services Board just to talk about a few things, vandalism in the parks, speeding on the roads, just so that they feel that their voice is being heard. I know that you and I have spoken to it, and Mr. Gale has, Regional Councillor Gale has also been responsive through email, but the citizens are looking to want to speak directly to the board.
And there's a great opportunity there just to see what we're doing in policing through the chair, through Councillor Nutt. But yes, I did contact Councillor Gale, who was very receptive to the idea of increased police presence. And ultimately, when you talk about traffic calming initiatives, in the absence of those physical creations through infrastructure, what we can do in the meantime is certainly increase police presence, and that's what we're doing on that corridor right now. But to your question specifically, I know at one point we used to have a community liaison with the town of Fort Erie, and we would bring some of our policing issues through NRP to that community liaison, and that would filter on up to the board and certainly NRP. I don't know if we still have that in place. I know at some point we had it on Jarvis Street and a community liaison organization there. Maybe that might be the best opportunity to present those issues to that community liaison, and those will definitely get to the board and certainly the NRP.
There's a traffic coordinating committee, and there's also the opportunity for them to meet directly with the regional police. That local staff sergeant, I'm sure, would be interested in meeting with the residents.
Yeah, I do want to comment that I have noticed an increase in police presence, and it does seem to work. They are ticketing speeders along that way. Not that ideally we want to see that, but with buses and schools being in and everything, people should be driving slower, because that's definitely a zoned area where the speed limit is slower. I did want to thank you for your efforts so far, and that to comment that there has been some response from the Niagara Regional Police.
But in the interim, I will take that request forward on your behalf, Councillor Nutt.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Through you to our regional councillor. I'm as excited as you are for the Canada Games. I think this is absolutely fantastic, and want to thank you and your colleagues as well as regional staff for putting that bid together. They went all out, and I think we really appreciate that, not just as Fort Erieans, but as Niagarans. My question relates to the budget. There was a report released outlining significant investment for legacy infrastructure projects, specifically facilities. Places like St. Catharines, Thorold's are getting upwards of millions of dollars for either new facilities, retrofitting facilities. I recognize that we'll be hosting sailing at the Buffalo Canoe Club, but what can Fort Erie expect as far as dollars flowing our way to help offset the increased traffic, maybe some of the upgrades we might have to do, or for legacy financing of facilities or infrastructure?
Through the chair to Councillor Pissier, all great questions. Basically, up to this point, we have been fully invested in the actual committee that has solicited the bid. So all our resources up to this point have been dedicated to bid proposal. Gratefully, we have been successful. Now the next steps going forward are making sure that there's oversight as far as how those scarce dollars are being spent. And certainly if there's an opportunity to attract those legacy dollars in the town of Fort Erie, we're going to make sure that they come our way. Ultimately, though, it's based on the games operation team to see where the gaps have been identified in hosting those games. To your point, absolutely, the Buffalo Canoe Club has been one of the successful recipients of one of those events. How that translates into funding dollars, I can't quite answer that yet. But understanding the ownership and the management at the Buffalo Canoe Club are incredible partners with the town of Fort Erie. I'm sure there's going to be a collaborative effort to see how some of those infrastructure dollars and those legacy fund dollars stay in Fort Erie to benefit that particular site in any event. But the good news is, as far as the legacy funding program going forward, there will be some fantastic initiatives all throughout Niagara that will be very Niagara-centric, although they may be situated in St. Catharines, maybe they'll be situated in Thorold, but because these are regional dollars, I anticipate that the legacy going forward is an opportunity for even our athletes here in the town of Fort Erie to be utilizing those events and hopefully, you know, spurring on our future athletes to come right from here in Fort Erie and certainly Niagara. So a long answer, but as we move forward in the process, I'll make sure how those dollars are being allocated, and it's going to be a very public process, so everyone's going to know how those dollars are being allocated and how we're being stewards of those dollars moving forward towards these games.
Thank you, through your worship. Thank you, Councillor Nunziata. I appreciate that, and I recognize that many of those dollars will be spent throughout Niagara, but as Fort Erie taxpayers who see significant investment of their tax bill going to the region, we want to see some of those dollars make their way back. So I appreciate your efforts and look forward to future updates on that.
My pleasure.
Any other councillors? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Through you to our regional councillor. Getting back to the games, the Canada Games, I'm just wondering, I mean, it's a couple years down the road when we're going to be hosting these games, and showcasing Fort Erie is going to be a great opportunity for the residents and for the business owners and for the town itself. But is the region setting up something, or are they going to notify business owners as to what they can do while we're hosting these games, maybe hosting athletes or something like that? Or more than anything, is the residents of Niagara, especially Fort Erie, a contact person where they could get a hold of them to do any volunteer work? Because I'm sure that they're going to need a large resource of volunteers.
Through the chair. Yes, all great questions, Councillor Luberts. Ultimately, any successful game is contingent upon the amount of volunteer resources that we have. So going forward, I'm going to assume that our first point of contact here in the town of Fort Erie will be the Fort Erie Economic Development and Tourism Corporation. Ultimately, we're looking for a huge economic spinoff. I'm looking at it through an economic lens, so making sure that the residents are informed as far as how they can capitalize on the increased visitation, the increased tourism, and certainly planning for 2021. We'll make sure that all the residents are fully aware of what they can and can't do with respect to those summer games. And I see an incredible amount of opportunity, not only for Niagara, but certainly for the town of Fort Erie. Anyone knows that when you look at the 12 municipalities that make up Niagara, Fort Erie is number one. I mean, why wouldn't you want to come down to Fort Erie and enjoy our beaches and our waterfronts and certainly the wonderful amenities? So I'm going to make sure that Fort Erie is on everyone's mind when it comes to Canada Summer Games. It is, by the way, the gateway into Canada. So we're looking forward to the opportunity to host many, many visitors that otherwise wouldn't come to our town.
You're certainly on the right page, Councillor Nunziata. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. That takes us then to presentations and delegations. And the first delegation is Donna Hind, a principal with the Planning Partnership, to inform us about the progress on the Fort Erie Waterfront Strategy. And because Ms. Hind is under contract with the municipality, she's similar to an employee of the municipality, and she can present to us without restriction of time, as long as it doesn't go past 30 minutes. Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am very happy to be here tonight presenting the final waterfront strategy. As the people at the front of this room know, it's a priority for the town as identified in your own 2015 to 2018 strategic plan under the prosperous and growing community area of focus. After a year that began with one-on-one interviews with our community focus group members, three community workshops, regularly reporting out on what we heard, regularly reporting and meeting with our agencies, and working very hard with a fantastic community focus group who shared their very thoughtful insights with us over the course of the last year. So I'm very excited to present the waterfront strategy for your waterfront that's long been recognized as one of your most valuable assets, with miles and miles of shoreline access and 32 points of access. The waterfront strategy is organized first and foremost around vision and principles, and then guiding frameworks where we summarize what we've heard over the past year. We describe the key issues based on what people have talked to us about. We set out specific principles and then set out initiatives for each one of 7 frameworks. I'm going to start with the overarching vision statement that frames the entire document and talks about a waterfront that offers residents and visitors a network of beautiful parks and points of access. Talks about an environment where the rich natural and cultural resources are protected, where there's beautiful waterfront neighborhoods and vibrant urban centers. Talks about the waterfront as being a catalyst for development, for new forms of housing and commercial activities. And a really important aspect of the plan is that it talks about how everyone should see themselves as stewards working together to ensure the waterfront is successful, and that Fort Erie becomes a model for all communities right across the country. It's organized around 12 principles that talk about economic growth, that talk about a strategy for securing and acquiring waterfront properties, talks about enhancing waterfront parks and windows, about identifying special routes, about connecting the string of pearls along the waterfront, about securing more of the shoreline for public access, about protecting important natural features, respecting natural shoreline hazards, celebrating Fort Erie's amazing culture and heritage, protecting very significant views all along the shoreline, focusing the town's marketing and branding on access to the waterfront and its points of access, and then promoting the awareness of this spectacular resource. So we've organized the strategy around 7 frameworks: natural heritage features and hazards, waterfront parks and windows, ways to and along the waterfront, destinations and tourist attractions, culture and heritage, neighborhoods, and boating access. I'll walk through very briefly some of the highlights of each one of those 7 frameworks. So every framework begins with a map that maps what you have already. Every framework then begins with key issues that have been identified through the collaborative process. We set out specific principles with respect to each one of the frameworks. So in this case, we're talking about natural heritage features and hazards. Principles address things like conserving, protecting, and enhancing those natural features, about developing a system of interpretive signage. Then the framework has a number of specific initiatives with respect to, in this case, natural heritage features and hazards. And so these initiatives talk about things like working with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority to ensure regulations are enforced with respect to protection of provincially significant wetlands. Another one is promoting the current landscape design practices into a landscape design guideline, so we're making sure that any work that happens along the shoreline is done within a framework of protecting the natural heritage features and hazards. Go on to the next one. We'll look at waterfront parks and windows. And as this community knows, the town has worked very hard over many decades to secure 32 points of access to the waterfront along the Lake Erie shoreline. And then you have the benefit of the Niagara Parks Commission that has almost the entire length of the Niagara River is open and accessible to public use with key points of access along the way. We identified or coalesced the issues that we heard through the process with respect to waterfront parks and windows, and then also identified a number of principles that would guide the initiatives that the team developed for waterfront parks and windows. And so it began by squinting our eyes at all 32 sites and developing a new hierarchy of waterfront parks, waterfront windows with boat access, and then identifying the site at the Miller's Creek Marina as a special tourist destination site. We identified a number of anchor parks and then urban waterfront parks as well within that framework. So we have a number of initiatives for waterfront parks and windows, which address developing or instituting the new hierarchy, which identifies things like renaming the waterfront road allowances as waterfront windows, but renaming some of the sites as waterfront parks. Another initiative, such as identifying an ambassador in each bay to help with community liaison and to address bay-specific issues. In the waterfront parks and windows framework, we also looked at two specific opportunities for change. One at one end, the Birdie Boating Club, right at the entrance to the Point Avenue neighborhood and access to the lighthouse. So we did some suggestions for how to improve that site. Most important, how to make it clear to everybody in Fort Erie that the facilities at the boating club are open and available to public use, and also to enhance the land that's right adjacent to the Birdie Boating Club so that it's a lush, beautiful green space, open and accessible and welcoming to public use. We also looked at the opportunities for enhancing the coal docks, long been considered as a site for improvement right along the river in Bridgeburg Station. So a concept that shows enhanced parking, enhanced access, and enhanced landscape access to the trail along the Niagara River. The third framework is ways to and along the waterfront, where we begin by mapping all the roads down to any waterfront window or waterfront park. We map the existing trail system, the Niagara Parkway, anything that gets people down to one of the sites along the river or lake. We identify again the issues that we've heard through the process of what people are struggling with respect to access to those waterfront parks and windows. We set out a number of principles that frame all of the initiatives in this framework. We squinted our eyes at this framework and wanted to try and distill a simpler picture of what it's like to come down and experience Fort Erie's waterfront. And so it begins by identifying a waterfront drive in the purple, fat purple line, which is an identification of existing roads, which when stitched together and linked to the Niagara Parkway, complete the waterfront drive on the Lake Erie waterfront. And then we also wanted to identify every single road that provides access down to a waterfront point or a waterfront window, to mark them, to sign them at one or two roads up, so when you're a visitor to the community and even a resident in Fort Erie, that you know exactly how to get to one of those waterfront points of access. So we again identified a number of initiatives that have to do with enhancing signage, identifying some of those key routes with banners, enhancing pedestrian cycling routes. It was almost a year ago when I made arrangements with one of the bicycle shops in town to pick up a bike at the Birdie Boating Club and bike all the way along, in and out, up and down the streets, and get picked up at Miller's Creek Marina. And it was a fascinating drive to see firsthand every inch of the shoreline and where it's easy to bike around, what a fantastic ride it is, and how simple it is just to fill in some of those missing links. Then we looked at destinations and tourist attractions and mapped anything that had to do with tourism, so accommodation, restaurants, shops, services along the entire route. Again, the issues that were specific to tourist destinations and attractions, the principles that would guide the initiatives that we suggested, and then developed a series of initiatives that focus on branding, branding and tourism identity, identifying key properties for tourism development and intensification, expanding the waterfront events, looking at opportunities for a resort hotel. It was in this framework that we also looked at specific opportunities for the Palm Wood in the Crystal Beach Waterfront Park, and did some diagrams of redevelopment potential of that property that looked at redeveloping the site, but also enhancing the public space at the water's edge, reorganizing parking. Heritage and culture, we mapped anything that had to do with heritage and culture. So museums, art galleries, the location of interpretive plaques, interpretive information, identified the issues, identified principles that guided the development of key initiatives to enhance heritage and culture. Had terrific input from people from museum services and developed a really sound strategy for continuing to build on the work that they've already initiated in Fort Erie. Neighborhoods, again, the issues that were specific to the neighborhoods and principles that guided the work developing the initiatives, principles like encouraging mixed-use development, principles like providing public access along the water's edge in new development, principles like locating new streets and paths to make sure there are views through and to the waterfront. We identified a number of centers in the neighborhoods framework as the focus for development. So Crystal Beach, an area around Waverly Beach, area in South End, Bridgeburg, and then also identified the area at Miller's Creek Marina as a special tourist tourism development. Initiatives in the neighborhoods framework were initiatives like promoting intensification, initiatives like implementing streetscape enhancements, initiatives like developing design guidelines for the town to have a checklist of what they're looking for with new development. Now I'm going to move into, before I leave neighborhoods, one of the demonstrations that we did in the neighborhoods framework was to look at opportunities for the continued development near the Waverly Beach Park with a diagram that laid out where low density and medium density housing could go, how the development interfaces with the existing park, the gateway to the park, and how it integrates with the existing development to the east. And then the final one is boating access, where we mapped any locations where there's a marina, a private boating club, where you could put your boat in the water, the issues and the principles that directed the suggestions around boating, and then developed a number of issues that were things like highlighting the opportunities for the public to use the Birding Boating Club, exploring opportunities for new boat tie-up like at the Crystal Beach Waterfront Park, enhancing marketing of the sites that are available. So implementation of the waterfront strategy. In summary, we ended up with about 53 initiatives when we took all of the initiatives that we identified for each one of those seven frameworks. In terms of implementation, then we took each one of those frameworks, each one of the initiatives, and allocated specific actions, responsibilities, timing, and resource requirements for the town. We also prepared a specific waterfront property securement and acquisition strategy by talking about the basis for the strategy, the tools that are available, an idea about a property acquisition bank, priority locations, and then specific actions for implementation. Just so you know what you're looking at when you look at the report, each one of the frameworks has a matrix like this where the initiatives are down the side and the letters, the specific actions are in the middle, taking a crack at identifying responsibilities, timing, and then suggesting the town of Fort Erie resource requirements. We also did a Gantt chart showing the timing of each one of the specific initiatives in each one of the frameworks. When it comes to the waterfront securement and acquisition strategy, you will see this diagram in the document, and it really sets out the very important initiative where it says this will require strong commitment to action, dogged determination in making this work, allocation of budget, allocation of staff resources, and that this strategy is not something that's going to happen overnight, as you know, because you've been working very hard to secure the 32 points of access that you have already. It's going to require a very multifaceted approach to implementation, and it requires you to empower administration to act. There are many tools available that are the gray gears in the middle of the diagram. Many of these the town has used already, like purchasing land, land exchanges, accepting donations, land secured through the development process. There's some new ones, like developing privately owned public spaces, which is an idea through the development process that the land can be private, but public is entitled to use that land. We're recommending, and this is through major development in urban centers, we're recommending a waterfront property acquisition bank for the acquisition of waterfront properties over time that would result from an annual contribution to the bank by the town. There's a number of priorities with respect to this part of the strategy, and that is that the council would adopt the waterfront strategy and empower staff to implement the land securement and acquisition strategy and provide an annual budget. Second action is that would establish the waterfront acquisition bank. Third is to establish the strategy, enshrine the strategy, and then to prepare an official plan amendment to be more specific about how the town would facilitate enhanced public access. So to wrap up, we have coalesced what we've heard into the waterfront strategy to give you direction for 45 kilometers along the water's edge, 35 points of access to Lake Erie and the Niagara River, 3 anchor waterfront parks, almost continuous public access to and along the Niagara River, but limited continuous pedestrian access along Lake Erie. An identified waterfront drive that could be marketed and promoted as such, a continuous recreation trail that you've already got in place with a fantastic friendship trail that links into the Niagara Parks Trail, village centers and neighborhood nodes, tourist destination around Miller's Creek Marina, 3 major gateways, 2 public marinas, 10 places to launch a boat. You have an outstanding resource, and this I know you know. And everyone has a role to play to implement the 53 initiative. So this is not the responsibility of just the town of Fort Erie, but I hope that everyone can see how they could see them helping and contributing to implementing the waterfront strategy. I think when I sat back and thought about this presentation and the months and months of pulling the document together, I thought this can be simple or it can be really difficult and protracted. And I think it can be simple if people ask, what can I do to help, not hurt? What can I do? How can I make things better? What can I do to enable implementation of the strategy, not frustrate implementation of the strategy? So I think for Erie, you could not ask for the stars to be better aligned with the news about the games coming to Niagara region. There's a lot of work that you have to get started on, and it's just a fantastic, fantastic opportunity. I really thank the town for giving, on behalf of our team, the opportunity to help coalesce the ideas together into your waterfront strategy.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hind. I want to congratulate you and your team for the time and energy and the effort and the creativity that you've put into this. But I know that it's premised upon the wonderful participation you've received from the community in terms of the community focus group, the town staff, all of the residents and the councillors who came out to participate in the public meetings or the presentations that were made. And I do hope that will be a positive precursor as this strategy eventually moves forward. There's still a ways to go before we start to implement it. As you said, there's the need for the allocation of budget and human resources, but this provides us with the map and the guide as to how to get to where we would like to go. It highlights exactly what we do have in this community, and I think many people up until now haven't fully appreciated what we do have in terms of our waterfront. And I agree with your final or nearly final statement about this can be a simple process or a difficult process. I think much of it depends upon the goodwill of the people who live in the community, of course, the goodwill of people who own property along the waterfront, and the respect that we all try to show each other as we try to move forward and capture the essence and the importance of what really is a jewel in Fort Erie's crown. So I will ask members of council if they have any questions of you, but I will start with the one that was recently raised by a resident, and you may or may not know the answer to this. One of the waterfront communities, property associations, expressed some concern about one of your recommendations that dealt with one of the tools for the acquisition of waterfront property, and that had to do with the use of Planning Act and Parkland Dedication Bylaw to acquire lands in the future, or at least rights to a portion of land. Do you have any comment on that, or should I save that for Mr. Hayworth? Mr. Brady.
Not Mr. Brady or Mr.
If you would prefer, you don't have to answer that question.
I'd be happy to take that.
Okay, if we could, with the indulgence of counsel, Mr. Brady.
The mayor's question is based on a piece of an email that I think all of council has received, and it strikes to the one notion of how to expand the additional waterfront area by utilizing the Planning Act, which is a method that we use today and we've used quite successfully today. That we've the only expansion that we were contemplating with the waterfront strategy was to add in that when minor variances were being considered, that would also be brought into play as to whether or not land would be able to be secured in that fashion. To answer that question in a complete fashion, that particular piece of correspondence has been added to the report that Mr. Hayworth finalized today, and we have a section in the report that will be coming to council next Monday. But the whether or not the council wants to expand the ability to receive waterfront lands by including minor variances in it, or whether the council wishes to stay with the same methodology that we've had to date, which includes all other Planning Act applications but not minor variances, will be a decision which council will make as part of reviewing the report on Monday.
Thank you, and that's all part of a public process. So with that, Ms. Hind, maybe I will ask members of council if they have any questions, and I would ask staff to turn on the lights. Left the audience in the dark. There. Any members of council? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you, Ms. Hind, for all of your work and your team. I won't go over the mayor's comments. He said it more eloquently than I could have, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to the community focus group. I noticed that there are several members of the focus group in the audience. So on behalf of, if I can, mayor and council, thank you for devoting your time, your contributions, and I think we can all say that many of them, if not all of them, I see expressed in these seven frameworks. So you have done a magnificent job of taking what at times can be a contentious issue. Everybody has their own thoughts, their own objectives, and their own long-term vision. But I think that all of those perspectives and opinions have been encapsulated in this report, and I look forward to dissecting it further. I'm working with staff to go further down the road and working with my colleagues to find out how many of these we can implement in the short term and what we can do now to set the stage for implementing most of them in the long term. So thank you to yourself, your team, and to the community focus group members who joined us tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Fusaro. Are there any other members of council? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and Ms. Hines, thank you very much for your presentation, and thank you very much for all the hard work that you and your team put together. Going over the waterfront strategy, you're right, it can be either simple or difficult, and I think what I'm looking more forward to is presenting this to the people in Fort Erie and encouraging them to participate and to buy into the plan. I think when we're looking at resources and looking at the town of Fort Erie for the resources, I think it might just be a better way to go about it if we include everybody, not just the residents of Fort Erie, but the region, the province, federal government. And if we can get everybody to come on board and just do one thing at a time, I think we can keep it much more simple that way. But the plan is great, and thank you very much. And hopefully the residents and the rest of the province and the country will buy into our plan, and Fort Erie will be greater than it is today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. Any other members of council? Thank you very much, Ms. Hind. And then can I encapsulate your final comment basically to council? Don't be timid.
Don't be timid, yes. Help. Help. Just say, what can I do to help? Not hurt.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So then that takes us to the next delegation, and that's Alistair Davis on behalf of Habitat for Humanity Niagara. And I see you have assistants here with you. Good evening.
Thank you. Mayor, Council, Regional Councillor, and Gallery, I'm very pleased to be here as the CEO for Habitat for Humanity in Niagara to particularly recognize the town of Fort Erie for their outstanding contribution to helping us provide another habitat home for another family in Fort Erie. There was a need for affordable housing, and we were able, through great assistance from the town and from many other organizations, make this possible. The picture you see up here is just before Christmas, when we were able to move the family in to their new home on Crescent. Many of you were there. It was one of those wonderful minus 22 days, but it made no difference. We had one of the biggest crowds ever. Give you sort of 10 seconds on Habitat 101. We engage the community to build a home. The family purchases the home. We don't give anything away. We do it in a very magical way that makes it affordable, 0% mortgage. Payments are geared to the family's income. And we provide them with training to be good homeowners and good neighbors. We then take the resources that are paid back to us in mortgages, and we reinvest. So we keep that cycle of building going. The generosity, though, for this build started, as so many things do with Habitat, in a very magical and surprising way. I got a phone call from a resident in Pennsylvania who said, I have some land on Crescent, which I don't really need anymore. Would you like to accept it as a donation? My answer was quick, and yes, thank you very much. We arranged to produce a IRS-happy tax receipt. Contacted the town, and it was basically the response of, how can we help? And we did this together with fantastic support from the town and from many others who helped us really come together and start to build together this home. So it truly was a community build. That's what we call them, community builds. We instantly engaged with the town, with local businesses from across this municipality and from across Niagara, a few coming from elsewhere in Ontario also. And they came together with that common dream of the fact that we can make this come true for this family. So it was an outstanding effort, and also great leadership by the Habitat 40 Steering Committee, who helped us a great deal. A little bit of a, well, it's very exciting for the Blitz framing. Recall last fall when we did this, we also had a little bit of a setback when we arrived. We discovered, much to our dismay, that yes, we had the TD Bank volunteers there to frame this house, but the tools that we brought the night before were not there. And these things happen. But I keep using the word magic. Talk about a response. I was upset. My staff was upset. But who was really upset were the residents of Fort Erie and some other people. And they rallied instantly, like that day. We were able to get tools, and that build stayed on schedule. But we were able to get tools donated a couple days. The commitment was made that day, and a couple days later, we had trucks showing up with brand new tools for us. That's a feeling and a response to a situation that we've never had before. And that became a national story in Habitat, told from coast to coast. And I'll be retelling it again when I'm at a national conference next month. The response of the community to this build meant that we did not only have community organizations sponsoring a day to come out and build, we had many sponsoring 2 days. Rich Products, Fort Erie Racetrack, Community Living Fort Erie, Clarion Hotel, TD Bank sponsored 4 days, and other organizations, which you can see some. So that was really, of course, when the fun really began, is when we had the town out building. And although the pictures aren't from downstairs, they did all the framing of the basement, which is critical. Got to get that part right, so you were foundation building. And a lot of fun had that day, some great pictures, and I can still hear the laughter. I'm not sure if it was laughter of enjoyment or laughing at each other, but we accept both at the build site. We had the neighbors involved. We had a neighborhood build day. We also had building with us on the monitor. The two people on the right are the future homeowners of that home. They are in fact, Scott and Corey will become the homeowners of the home that we are just. We dedicated the home as I mentioned, one of the coldest days of the year, but also one of the warmest days of the year in terms of what we all were feeling that day. And this was one of the most incredible dedications we've done in terms of the number of people there. There was some stomping of feet, including mine, and to keep warm, but it was such a fantastic time. And when we all started going inside, you can see that it looks like a procession. And the picture on the right is the family beside their tree that they quickly assembled. So it also provided a great guest for their first house party. You know, 20 seconds after they owned the house, 100 people come in the front door, is that they had pupusas and quesadillas homemade the traditional way. That was a fantastic way for them to celebrate their first event. It's had a big impact on their life. You just have to see the family for a second to realize how happy they are, how much their life has changed, and they're so grateful. They're avid gardeners, and they're looking forward to the weather that's coming so they can begin to plant their garden. They're also avid about their community, and they're very involved, and they feel very rewarded and very, very blessed to become homeowners, as do Scott and Corey and their children, who will be moving in and becoming their neighbors briefly. We do everything we can to try to prepare family, including providing this great mortgage, but also in training in terms of home maintenance, being a good neighbor, understanding what it takes to look after a house through the four seasons, savings, and that type of thing. But just to touch on sort of the international part, as you know, we're an organization that builds in close to 100 countries in Canada, in the world, I mean, and for every build we complete here, we sponsor 8 homes in Haiti. So last year sponsored 8, this year as we build 5, 6, 7 homes a year, you can see the impact we're having on the on a place like Haiti, which needs long-term support that we're providing. Reference to Canada 150, our big celebration that is underway, and also underway for you too, is that there's a program been put together to build 150 Habitat homes in Canada. We are one of them. The one here in Fort Erie has been designated as one of those builds. And we'll be celebrating on the week of July 9th A whole combination of 150 homes being dedicated across Canada. We'll be celebrating it here on July the 14th. My PowerPoint deck is not up to date because today we framed the house entirely, put in the windows and doors, sealed it up and locked it. One day, I think some of you saw that happen last year, it happened today. And we've already have signed up, and I could have shown you this next slide many weeks ago. We touched base with organizations thanking them for participating in the 2016 build, and they immediately were asking, well, how can we get involved in the one in 2017? So here's just some of the organizations that are already signed up, and there are more. So today, we're framing the house, and there's a number of signs on the street that say Michael's Roofing. And Michael was roofing a house about four doors away and got in touch with us and said, if you can have the shingles there tomorrow, we'll put them on for you. So there's that kind of generosity and support. That's just fantastic and right up to date. So thank you, as Town of Fort Erie and representing the residents, for your incredible community championship. I love telling this story to all of my colleagues. I love the envy that they have of how fortunate Habitat is to be working with a municipality like you. You know, for waiving servicing and DCs and other things and helping us connect with the community. And we encourage you to continue to help us connect. I look forward to you being at your build day, which is coming up. When is that? Do we know? Coming up soon, which you'll have a chance to go out and assist it. As I wrap this up, I heard reference to the previous presenter about a land acquisition. My land bank right now is empty. And I need at least one more lot to keep my build program going here. I'd like to be building again in 2018, but I need some land and would appreciate any encouragement or any opportunities, anyone who hears me speaking this evening, to consider ways in which they can assist us in acquiring land so that we can keep the build program going here. So to absolutely wrap it up, there's the picture of the evening, the current residents of Crescent Road. Home we finished just at Christmas, and I would like at this time if I could honor and recognize and present to the town a plaque that we have in terms of thanking you, and also one that we recently provided in recognition of the town as being an absolutely fundamental foundation builder for Habitat. We don't give these out to too many organizations because they're very special to us, and hope you're received as being very special. Very much.
Thank you very much. Alistair, so do you want to give that out now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, good. It's square.
Thank you very much, Alistair. This is a great privilege for our community, and I know that Fort Erie, I believe, has the most Habitat for Humanity builds in the region, and it's actually a surprisingly large number of the total, which is kind of a point of pride for us. These builds really are part of our efforts as a council to help build this community. And the family that you have in your photo that now occupies the most recent build is a wonderful addition to our community. They're very diligent, they're hardworking, and the kids are amazing. And we look forward to helping out this year with your current build. So thank you very much. And just so the community knows, we have also been working with you to see if we can find some additional land for future builds. So thank you very much. I don't know if any members of council had any comments or wanted to, Councillor Becerro and Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. One of the slides noted that the town of Fort Erie was a champion for this build, and I just wanted to recognize my colleague, Councillor Kim Zanko, because she was the champion on council, who helped spearhead this, helped rally us as colleagues to support this, whether it was in the planning stages, at budget time, throughout the process. So I would be remiss if I did not make that publicly known, that it was Kimberly Zanko's efforts that really got us as council behind this. And when council got behind this, I want to thank staff for getting it behind behind it as well. But Kimberly should be very proud. This family owes you a great debt of gratitude, as does Habitat, for all of your hard work in this effort. Thank you.
Well said, Councillor Becerro. Councillor Zanko, did you want to chime in?
I actually just wanted to thank Mr. Davis and the organization. I think that it's just wonderful what you do for these families, and I've had the privilege of seeing the children play in the area often, and just the happiness that you see. It's just such a huge reward, I think, for the entire community. So thank you very much.
Any other counselors? Thank you very much, Mr. Davis, and we look forward to seeing you. I thought it was in August that our day is.
Ooh.
April 20th, that's next week. Oh, really? I guess, yeah. So, which implement is it that I was told not to bring, or was it the whole toolbox? Okay, then I guess we'll be seeing you soon.
Have a saw.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad I asked that question. That then takes us to Linda Scott and Jane Dodds from the Fort Erie Lions Club. Or just Jane Dodds.
Jane Dodds.
Which is more than adequate.
Good evening, Mayor Redekop, counselors, Town of Fort Erie staff, community members, and guests. I am Lion Jane Dodds, Vice President of the Fort Erie Lions Club, and I thank you for giving the Fort Erie Lions the opportunity to speak to you tonight. 2017 is the 100th anniversary of Lions International and the 90th anniversary of our community service of the Fort Erie Lions Club. The contribution of the Lions Club to the community is far-reaching and can be seen in the Lions Douglas Heights Senior Residence, Lions Douglas Heights Senior Center, Lions Sugar Bowl Park, and the legacy naming of the Lions Hall at the Leisureplex. The Fort Erie Lions have been the sponsor of 337 Allen Troop Air Cadet Squadron since its inception in 1943. We're proud that out of this program, so many young people have gone on to amazing careers. Captain Paul Faulkner, for example, is now a snowbird. And we're thrilled that on May 23rd, he and all the snowbirds will visit with the Air Cadets and our club members. The Air Show for the town on May 24th over the Niagara River will be an event to remember. The club continues to contribute to the community, offering an over 60s luncheon free to all residents held the last Tuesday of each month. Our monthly fundraising dinners, held the second Friday of each month, offer a delicious meal and raises funds to support community charities and Lion initiatives. The Fort Erie Lions Club is currently planning fundraising events on behalf of the new Fort Erie High School Culinary Program. And on Saturday, April 29th at 6 p.m., we are holding a trivia night to raise funds for the Lions Eye Care Niagara's purchase of a new microscope for the ophthalmology at Niagara Health. Lion and counselor Stephen Passero is our quizmaster. Tickets are available for $15 per person at the Lions Douglas Heights Senior Center. But I can save you some time. I would like to challenge the council and staff. I have tickets with me, so you could fill a table, and see if it's possible for you to defeat our reigning champions. The Fort Erie Lions Club 90th is a time of celebration, and we want to take this evening to thank the mayor, the council, for your amazing support. We are thrilled to have the first week of May designated Lions Week, and for our Lions International flag to be flown at Town Hall for the week. As well, we want to acknowledge the Peace Bridge Authority, who will be lighting the Peace Bridge on the night of Saturday, May 6th, in our historic colors of gold and purple. And thank you, Mayor Redekop, for agreeing to attend and speak at our anniversary dinner, and to the counselors who plan to attend on Saturday, May 6th. The Fort Erie Lions are proud to serve our community, and we look forward to 90 more years of great service. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jane. And your club certainly has every reason to be proud. The history of events, programs, projects speak well of the organization. And I think Ridgeway just had our 85th.
Actually, Fort Erie was
our sponsor. Yes. So yes. we are the child of the Fort Erie Lions Club, if you want to put it that way, which means you're your husband's mother. we won't go there. So we do have on our agenda this evening a correspondence from the Lions Club and a resolution to designate May 1st to 6th as Lions Week in Fort Erie, and I'm sure that is going to be approved. If it isn't, I'm sure there'll be counselors that will be in trouble. And the evening of the trivia, was that a trivia?
April
29th. Hey.
Come out and enjoy. We have a wonderful time.
Yeah, that was the question I had. Who is the reigning champ?
Charlie McMillan and his family, and Wayne Mills and his family.
So if we put together a decent team, that shouldn't be much of a challenge. Just kidding. Yeah, easy to say now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Do any members of council have any questions? Councilor Becerra, you are obviously a proud Fort Erie Lions
member. I am. It's great to see so many of my fellow Lions here, and many of them had to be cajoled to come out because they like to be behind the scenes. They like to do the things that they do for the true betterment of the community and not for the recognition. But every now and then, I do believe you have to come out and show off all the things that you should be proud of. So thank you, Jane, for doing that on Fort Erie Lions.
For having us. And
behalf.
I also like to say Captain Chevalier and some cadets came out tonight. So
the tremendous initiatives, tremendous programs, tremendous partnerships. I'm looking forward to the trivia nights. I do take bribes if some of my colleagues would like some easy softball questions. I'm sure I can whip up one or two from the Planning Act or some infrastructure questions for Mr. Walsh, and I'm sure we can take down Mr. McMillan's team, no problem. But I'll declare a conflict of interest on that evening. But always a great time. Thank you, and thank you all for being here and for doing what you do, and thank you for taking the opportunity to let everybody else know what we have coming up in the very near future. Service clubs are the backbone of this community, and I know this is televised tonight, so a personal plea, if you're looking to volunteer, there's definitely a service club that will fit your schedule, your ability to contribute time-wise, and definitely an initiative that you think is worthwhile in our community. So call one of them up and make a difference. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Your Worship.
Before you go, any other counselors? Thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you folks as your events unfold, definitely May the 6th.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you should feel at liberty to leave at any time you wish. That takes us to our next and our final delegation, Mike Cloutier, with respect to transit issues.
Thank you, Your Worship. Usually
good evening.
People wait until I start talking before they clear the room. Good evening, Monsieur Mayor, or as they say at Airbus, Your Excellence, and counselors. I'm a regular transit user, 10 to 20 times a month. I'm grateful and happy that the town can make a significant investment in this town for people like me without cars. I choose not to have a car, to be able to get around. Now, I came here not so much to praise transit, but to bury it, or at least bury some components of this latest plan that the town has is embarking upon. The mayor distributed my email that I sent to him quickly the Monday morning before you were originally supposed to look at the two related reports, one being the plan for the route and bus stop and facilities, and the second, equally, perhaps even more important, report about the extension agreement with the current contract provider. Now, I had spoken with the mayor in September after the original report, and we went over a few of the deficiencies that I saw in the report that just kind of puts a brakes on any kind of consideration of the recommendations, because I think that a lot of this data in the report's irrelevant to the town, irrelevant to the riders, and some of it's flawed. I'm not nearly as well prepared as I had wanted to be, but I want to deal with quickly with a couple of key issues, and I'm going to hand you a page from the report. It's on paper. So what you see is the current transit route, and you see what an analysis of ridership for a two-week period, and it divides the route in, it looks like, half, that line down the middle. One half is the Ridgeway Crystal Beach end, the other half being North End, South End, and the Lakeshore end. And it seems to me that it was this data that was the main impetus for building in the idea for offering half-hour service in the peak time periods. But I look at this data, 342 riders per week getting on the bus at Ridgeway Crystal Beach, and 822 per week getting on the bus in the North End, the South End, and the Garrison Business District. This did not match at all my experience. I take the bus equally in both directions. I don't see that type of discrepancy. Then it kind of hit me, is that basically everyone who leaves Ridgeway or Crystal Beach goes past that middle line and gets off generally in the Garrison Business District at Walmart. So they are also being counted as East End users as opposed to being West End users. Their destination is in the Garrison Business District, Walmart, Sobeys, that area, and some of them do go to Jarvis Street area, the Job Gym, Sally Ann, things like that, the library. But if you were to subtract that 342 figure for Crystal Beach from the 822 figure for the West End, the number normalizes down to 480. That matches my experience. So I look at this data and I say, this does not support the half-hour service that will be provided with the extra Stevensville bus. And so it kind of puts a brake on me when I see problems with data like that leading into recommendations. You can also look on the map. That's not the bus route. Okay? The map shows Orchard Avenue as being on the bus route, but the bus route is on Garrison. Okay? And it's maybe a minor difference, okay, but it's one of those little details in analysis of what you're doing that doesn't give me a lot of confidence that the recommendations are solid. Okay. Also, there's an error up to in the north end. The bus doesn't go down Dufferin Street. It comes back down Jarvis. Another small difference, but if you're waiting for the bus on Dufferin Street, using the Town of Fort Erie map, this one I downloaded from the web today, you're not going to catch it. I want to keep it short. There's an awful lot of detail that I can go over with you about that. That's just one thing. I just think that you're rushing through with this. And when I saw the facilities report, I said to myself, okay, why didn't we take this back to the focus groups who were, whose opinion were sought to develop the plan? Why wasn't it taken back to them for evaluation? And it just seems that there's some kind of heavy time pressure that I don't understand, and it's not explained in the report. And that scares me a little bit, because we're talking now about, I think, about $450,000 a year to provide two buses on the existing route. We're talking about boosting that up by another 50% and even more. And, the town hit some home runs. It hit a big home run in 2008 when it doubled the number of buses. But I see a lot of times where it lets the little ground balls get past them, and they're not picking up on the small little details. That's the whole idea of just going through forward quickly with those reports gives me the heebie-jeebies. The fact that the town missed a contract deadline gives me another cause for pause. Simply about that. I have here too, I had to go through four different reports to get ridership figures from 2004 to 2016. And I want to hand these out too. Now, the 2010 numbers, I don't know. One report says it was 43,850. And another report said 49,621. I don't know which number is factual. But, Your Worship, you asked the consultant at the meeting that you saw that there was a big drop in ridership starting in 2013-14 and continuing on. And you weren't given an answer as to why that happened. The reason it happened is the town put through a consultant study with a report. They raised the price, the fare, from $2 to $2.50. They jiggled around with the route, making some illogical choices as far as I'm concerned. And the buses were just bad. Finally, in 2015, the provider thankfully started bringing on stream newer buses. These are the more modern, urban-looking type buses that you see going around. And we are thankful for that, and I think you can see that there's been some recovery in 2016. But we still haven't hit the target of 56,000 riders per year. That goal is expressed in the 2011 transit study. And now, without having hit your goals for ridership there, you want to spend some hundreds of thousands of dollars more to try to hit 100,000. I'm just scared that the town is going to be wasting money. And as much as I appreciate anything that you can give me or my people who ride the bus with me, any more opportunity to get around town, thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated. But I think really the whole genesis of this transit report that came down in 2016 was Councillor Nutt saying, can we please have transit in Stephensville? And I think that this report gives transit in Stephensville and then upsells more and more and more and more and more. When really all that we really need to do to be fair as a municipality to all the people in the town, Stephensville included, is just to get that bus service to Stephensville and keep your eye on that and work on that instead of working on some of these other things about having 40-foot buses, big, huge concrete pads, and bus stops here and there and everywhere and stuff like that. What I want you to do is to really analyze that report, not just the one that you got 3 weeks ago, but the consultant's phase one and phase two report, and look at what it's actually doing. It's a big report. The type is small. I know it's hard to read, and I know you guys have a lot to read. It's people out on the street have no idea how much information you have to deal with. But we're dealing with, you know, a $2.5 million investment over the next 3 years, and I think a lot more consideration should be given. The reports will be coming to you next Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday, I believe. So I would be prepared to discuss with you in detail some of those. Perhaps I'll be able to complete a written report about some of those deficiencies in the data, how they can be addressed, and how we can move forward to provide great transit for the people. Now, my other most important request is please don't raise the fares. You're going to kill ridership. Raised it in 2012 by 50 cents, ridership dropped. You raise it again, ridership is going to drop again. It's the law of supply and demand, and the evidence for that is in front of you. So the fares simply go to the contractor from captive riders who have no other option to get around town, and they are the people in town who are least able to afford that kind of increase. And I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clucci, and I appreciate you taking the time to come out and speak to us with respect to this. And if I might, before I give this to the councillors who may have questions, your point essentially is that if you have more riders, they will cover whatever the cost is if you were to increase the fare and have fewer riders.
Well, what I would suggest as a solution, I know we kind of backed into extension by default on the contractor. I don't really have any problems with not going with the contractor, but I think that the agreement should be changed where the town keeps the money, pays the contractor what they've already written on paper, what kind of ridership they expect, pay them the extra money, so the efforts that you make to improve the ridership and to get more fare money, it's coming in, and you are benefiting from it. And that money can go into transit rather than in maximizing somebody else's profit. When you increase your ridership, you get more money from the province for the gas tax. Where that saw-off point is, I'm not exactly sure, but I think that you should make the cost to ride transit on par with the cost to use any other municipal facility, like the library, which is free, the museum is free, The beach so far is free. I don't know what admission charges are in plans for that. I saw advertising for public skating, $1.50 for an hour. You know, I don't know how much it costs to use the Kinsman pool, but I don't really see, if you're willing to make those kinds of investments, I don't see what's wrong with paying the contractor an extra $100,000 to pay off his profit method. His profits or whatever his expectations are, and have free transit for everyone in town. Or, obviously, that's really not palatable, but $1 or go back to $2, and we're going to recover those riders.
Thank you. If you would stay at the podium, are the members of council have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through to Mr. Clucci. I wanted to say thank you for providing delegations this evening. You're right, there is a lot of information through the reports and the study. And personally, it's the insight from riders that I think is most valuable. I think it's fair to say that myself included, along with I would think most of my colleagues, do not ride the transit most days. So to have the information that you're providing and the suggestions for me personally provides huge guidance. My question is, you said that you ride the transit, did you say up to about 20 times per month?
10 to 20 times a month.
So that's nearly, you know, you're almost looking as a daily user then.
No. 10 rides a month would be like 5 voyages, right? Every voyage is 2 trips, right? My most busiest days would happen every 2 weeks, and that would be 5 rides.
And thank you. My next question to you, Your Worship, are you part of the committee that's been comprised to...
No.
Is there a reason why you didn't want to sit on that?
Frankly, there's the time commitment, and I would want to get some remuneration, to be frank. Even if it's monthly bus passes, something, you know. Everyone else is getting paid. Why aren't the volunteers getting some kind of benefit?
Because they're volunteers.
Because we're volunteers, that's true. But there is a time commitment. You know, I have deadlines to meet, you know, just like everyone else.
Well, and just in fairness, Councillor Zanko, most of the committees that the town has set up have volunteers. They don't receive any compensation. There may be 1 or 2 that do adjustments and, I don't know, property standards.
I understand.
The rest of them are...
I've been a member. I actually, my first delegation ever was even probably before your time, Your Worship, to start Local Architectural Conservation Advisory Committee. And I was on that committee. I did 2 or 3 terms on the museum board. I took part in strategic planning for public works, as it was called back in the day. There was the War of 1812 Bicentennial Committee that was most recent. There was something else.
Not challenging your willingness to volunteer. Just saying that our committees don't get compensated.
I understand.
Councilor Zanko, you
that,
said
that was all I have. Thank you.
But a bus pass would be nice.
free
every
free
volunteer for the
too.
Town should have a bus pass.
I'm presuming that you've had some influence on Governor Cuomo with respect to free tuition.
No, I don't. I don't even.
Okay.
Know anything.
Councilor Passero, did you have your hand up? No. Anyone else? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Cloutier. Just for clarification, the $250 that you pay, is it one way or is it all day?
One way.
So if you're taking 2 trips a day, then you're paying $5, and that's where the expense comes in for the ridership.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And if there aren't any others, just for clarification, the first handout that you provided to us, which is Appendix 1 to... Report IS-34-2016 says that these numbers represent boardings.
Right.
How you started. So that everybody that gets on between Crystal Beach and the Town Hall, so west of the Town Hall, that was 342, regardless of where they're going.
Right.
The same same chart or same map says that east of the town hall, out to Bridgeburg, 822 people get on the bus. So it doesn't say where they go, it just says they're getting on the bus.
Yes. Yeah, so if a Ridgeway rider is getting back on the bus to go home from Walmart, he's counted in that east side figures, right?
I see.
So there's not really an accurate count. There should have been ongoing analysis ridership to help out with these things. The bus drivers, when they did this to come up with those figures, they had a clipboard and they had a list of the stops as they're shown on the transit map, and when someone would get on, they would write down the number of people who got on to manually for a 2-week period. Well, okay, which 2-week period of the month was that? Because it peaks at the end of the month when checks come in, okay? And we're not just talking about social assistance, Ontario Works, which is specifically mentioned in the report because people can get an allowance if they ask for it, up to $250 that they can use for ridership. But it's mother's allowance, it's old age security, it's ODSP. It's just poor people. They don't have the safety net to say, okay, the town has raised my price. My monthly pass is going up from $80 to $96 a month. Talking some money.
Thank you very much. This is very helpful. And I can tell you, Mr. Cloutier, that I have that the first meeting of the new committee is scheduled for this week. And I'm also scheduled to meet with the consultant that prepared the report one other day this week. So this is helpful information for sure and something that I can clarify. I have some concerns about getting value for the money that we expend, but most importantly, making sure that we meet the needs of the residents. Thank you very much for coming out this evening. And
thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah, if there is further analysis that you do, we would be very interested in that.
I'll tell you, the number of reports about transit since 2004 would knock your socks off if you saw it. And it's complicated. Not easy. But I think if you take the time to parse it through, we'll be able to make a great transit system.
Well, I agree with you. Councillor Nutt?
I just have one question. In your calculation that you stated earlier, you subtracted the 342 from the 822.
Yeah.
But what about those people that originated in the East End and, say, went to Bay Beach for the day and then came back? Where is that calculation out of the 342?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I'll tell you, from my experience, most of the people are going to the business district.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a feel for if you thought there was a solid number there you could throw out. Cause
the report says that there's a whole bunch of analysis about where these stops were and how many people came on, but they're not in there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Cloutier.
Thank you very much, Mike. And as I said, we look forward to any additional analysis you might do. And I've got your email address, so
I think you all do now, right?
You'll be hearing from us. I presumed you wanted me to share that with my colleagues.
You know, when I write something down on paper, I expect the whole world to read it.
Well, not the whole world, but my six colleagues.
No, that's fine. If it helps to move things in a democratic, fair way for everybody, do what you want.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that gets us then to the consent agenda. Is there anyone that wishes anything removed from the consent agenda? If not, then Councillor McDermott, you have the resolution to deal with the consent agenda items.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Any questions or comments? All those in Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, just going to the Ombudsman's report.
Yep.
I see on page 9, there was one of the recommendations was to adopt a procedural bylaw governing the calling place and proceedings of meetings. And I'm just wondering, do all the other BIAs have that as well? Is that something that the other BIAs should be doing as well as?
Well, looking at the minutes.
I know that this is the report just for the Ridgeway BIA, but I'm thinking that we could take
a step looking at the minutes
further.
Of some of them, I know at least one would have it. But Ms. Vanko, Madam Clerk, could you help me out?
Certainly, Your Worship. Through you to Councillor Lubberts, it is a requirement under the Municipal Act that all local boards, as defined under the Municipal Act, pass their own procedural bylaw of which BIAs would fall under.
Question, I think, is do the BIAs, are you aware of any BIAs that have a formal procedural bylaw?
We have put that question out recently in light of this report and are waiting for responses.
Okay. All right.
We'll pass that on to councillors.
Certainly,
Members
Your Worship.
Of council. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask that question because I'd like to bring that forward to the Crystal Beach BIA. If we don't have one, then obviously we need to do the same thing.
We know you don't have one.
All right, good. Then I'll send that information off to the BIA.
I think they've got that through this report.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank
and,
you.
And Madam Clerk, just to follow that up, if there are BIAs that require assistance on that, I presume that your office is capable and willing to provide that assistance.
Absolutely, Your Worship.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just would like to thank Madam Clerk and Ms. Watson, Cheryl Watson, for assisting the Ridgeway BIA in our training following the fact that we didn't follow procedures. We did everything with the best intention to protect the merchants on the street, but we're very grateful for the night that you spent with us. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments, Councillor Nutt? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. And possibly Councillor Lubberts could answer this one. 3C, receive the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Minutes. Dated February 2017, I just had a couple questions. One, there was the resignation of the treasurer who was notably absent from that meeting. So I just was curious as to how he would sign at that meeting. And there was a second request under closed session item number 11 that Mr. Baumgartner be removed from the chair was to request that town council remove him. Is there no contact between him and the BIA anymore? Like, would it not be more appropriate for the chair to request his resignation if he's not going to attend any further?
Yes, I think that's why they went into closed session to discuss his attendance. And he had been contacted several times, and he wasn't showing up for meetings. So we requested that the procedural bylaw calls for if you missed three consecutive meetings, then, you know, you could be removed from your board. I think that's with all boards. And seeing that we were contacting him, no response was being given back, then the BIA board decided that they would exercise that part of the procedural bylaw.
Councillor Nutt? Okay. Councillor Passero.
Thank you. Just further to that, so we will be receiving something from the chair then at some future date as correspondence, directing council to consider this.
Madam Clerk, is there any significance to us receiving these minutes with respect to that?
Thank you, Worship. I can clear the air a little bit here. There is a process guideline under the committee handbook that we are in the process of following, and that is that the chair notifies the clerk for this type of situation, and I have reached out via email to the member to find out what their intentions are with a due date, which I believe is April 18th. If that passes either with no response or resignation, that motion will be before council at the next opportunity.
Okay. And further to that, if I could, Your Worship.
Yes.
I would hope that the correspondence from the chair, although we heard the answer tonight, but going forward would include the rationale why and possibly any you know, minutes from a closed session so council could make an informed decision, as it is ultimately our prerogative whether or not to do that. I don't see why we wouldn't if the BI is requesting it. But seeing this here tonight just left me a little bit uneasy, because it kind of hangs an individual out to dry with no rationale or backup information as to the reason why this was done and the ultimate motion that came out of that. I just would have liked to see something that isn't open to interpretation, and is here, that this will now sit in a public record for a couple of weeks prior to council being able to make a decision and knowing all of the facts surrounding this.
Are we talking about someone other than the individual who wasn't attending meetings?
No.
But we got the answer then, he wasn't attending meetings.
No, I understand that. But had somebody tonight not asked that question, this would have come and gone with open to interpretation as to what is the reason why.
Yep.
And I would just hate to have that. I understand this is for all the right reasons, but if somebody were just reading this and that name is included in there, I would have liked to see something in future minutes to explain exactly why.
I think that would be an appropriate remedy, that the minutes explain that for sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to follow up on that, I'm a little confused here as to what everybody's asking for. There was a resignation that was requested by the BIA, if I may. I think this just happened recently with the Ridgeway BIA as well. And I don't know that we got a full explanation as to the reasoning why someone resigned or was asked to resign. So I think the BIAs follow the procedural bylaws that we have, and we did go into closed session to discuss this. I don't know that the closed session meeting minutes would be disclosed, and I think the reasoning was pretty clear. Person that is being asked to be removed from the BIA hasn't been showing up to the meetings. I think that's pretty clear. And I don't know what it is that council's asking for as far as what they receive in the minutes. But the procedural bylaw is for the chairman of the BIA to submit the minutes of the meetings to the clerk of the town. And so those minutes are submitted to the clerk, and then we receive those minutes. And then we proceed as follows. If there's a recommendation in there, then council can ask the clerk and discuss things with the clerk and find out what the reasons are. But I need some clarification as to if a BIA or a board goes into closed session, is that information be provided to the council? And if it is, how does it get provided? Because we need to maintain the confidentiality of the closed session.
As I understand it, there are two issues here. The first is that there needs to be a formal request from the chair of the BIA to the clerk to be presented to council to have the individual removed as a member of the BIA because we appointed them. So then
that was done.
My understanding is that do we have the letter?
Through Your Worship, to Councillor Lubberts, the chair did advise the clerk, myself, of the situation. The next step in our guidelines and procedural handbook, as I mentioned earlier, is for me to reach out to the member to ask their intentions after a certain time frame. When I hear back from them or I get no response, then I will bring the next step forward to council, which will be the BIA's request to remove that person from the board.
Right. So that's in the works. The second point, which was the one raised by Councillor Passero, was that in the absence of anything to indicate that it's as a result of failure to attend the meetings, which is purely procedural, it could be left open to readers of these minutes, and I don't know how many there would be, but readers of these minutes with imaginations that there's something more behind it. The resolution comes out of something that was discussed in closed session. Well, the fact that an individual doesn't attend meetings, that's life. That happens. And so I think the suggestion is that if it's a fairly innocuous reason for the individual being requested to resign, such as failure to attend, which is certainly a requirement, they are to attend, that perhaps the minutes could reflect that. If it's closed session, if there's something that's purely closed session, then I believe the suggestion was that council may at least like to have some information rather than, it wouldn't be put in the minutes for sure, but some background information to council would be helpful in case we're asked about it. I believe that's the gist of what council. Because sometimes we're asked about things. Is that helpful? Do you want me to take another stab at it or just move on? Let's move on. Okay. If there aren't any other questions or comments with respect to the resolution regarding the consent agenda items, I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to the new business items. And Councillor Lubberts, you have the resolution regarding the waterfront strategy.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott. The council receives a presentation by Donna Hind, Principal Planning Partnership, regarding the waterfront strategy, and refers to staff for a report.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us then to the next resolution, which relates to transit. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council hereby consents to the passage of bylaw number 2017-21 of the Regional Municipality of Niagara, being a bylaw to provide Niagara Region with a non-exclusive authority to establish, operate, and maintain an intermunicipal passenger transportation system for the Niagara Region.
Are there any questions or comments? I circulated an email earlier today, I don't know whether councillors got it, suggesting that there might be an amendment to this having regard to the amount of investment that the town of Fort Erie makes in public transit, the importance of these intermunicipal links with Fort Erie, and the fact that we are not slated to be part of the transit steering committee, which will be moving forward to implement this new intermunicipal transit regime. Councillor Basiro?
Your Worship, you are more versed in this than us, given your position at Regional Council. I would be happy to assume the chair if you would like to put an amendment forward.
I'd be pleased to do that. Okay. So if I may give you the chair, then I would move that we amend this resolution as follows, that in addition to the existing resolution that we add, that Regional Council be requested to alter the makeup of the Transit Steering Committee to include one member from the town of Fort Erie. And if I could speak to that, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
As I said before, the town of Fort Erie is the fourth largest provider of public transit within Niagara. And with the magnitude of the investments that we're slated to make over the next 3 years and the significance and importance of the links between Fort Erie and the other parts of Niagara Falls for education, for health, for employment, and even for people who wish to travel, it seems to me that we're not adequately recognized in the scheme as this moves forward. The there are some links that are being proposed, at least what's called a dynamic route between Crystal Beach and Port Colborne. There's nothing that's proposed in the plan at the region for a link, a more direct link between Fort Erie and Welland. And many people who go to school or who are employed or who go to medical appointments have to go to Welland. And we don't have that, which means that unless there's some changes in the plan that's being currently put forward, Fort Erie residents will be going from our hub to Niagara Falls and then disperse from Niagara Falls. And unless there are significant investments, the time that it will take our residents to make those trips will not be diminished. Although there are efforts to refine and improve those routes, we're still going to be in a predicament with respect to our residents getting to the places that they need to go. The other point, so with respect to the Transit Steering Committee, which is one of two committees that will be established, one of which all members, all municipalities in Niagara will have representation. That will be professional staff. But the Transit Steering Committee is scheduled to be made up of two members from each of the three partners in this consolidated service: City of Niagara Falls, City of St. Catharines, City of Welland. That's 6 members, and the region will have 2 members. That's 8 members. And then it proposes two members on the committee from municipalities that don't have transit. So that means that we will have less input into the system as it moves forward at the transit steering committee level than municipalities that are investing currently nothing in public transit. They will eventually, because they will be committing financing towards the intermunicipal links. But that doesn't make any sense. I did raise this at the region the evening that we dealt with this report, and suggested that I would be trying to alter the makeup of that transit steering committee, which will eventually come before the regional council for approval. And so I've put forward this motion because I do believe that because of the commitment we're prepared to make and the importance of public transit to Fort Erie, we should have a seat at least at the transit steering committee. Not 2 seats, but at least 1. And that's the gist of the amendment that I'm asking council to support.
Given the mayor's passionate plea, has he convinced anyone to second his amendment? Comments or questions to the amendment? Councillor Nett.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, to the mayor, hopefully he can answer this question. Recently, there was an announcement that the feds gave the region $15 million in transit, to invest in transit, of which Fort Erie is only slated to get, I believe, $149,000. As the fourth largest provider of transit, why are we getting such a small allotment? And secondly, I just want to say that I agree with everything you said in regards to transit, and the issue that often overlooked too in this whole roundabout transit system with no link directly to Welland is the fact that we're cutting off our transit riders from the possibility of post-secondary education, especially with the direction the province is going. It would definitely open it up to a lot more people that live here to take advantage of post-secondary education, and we're not... I think as a region being cognizant of that.
Right. So in terms of the money that's coming from the federal government, some of that money will be utilized for infrastructure improvements. So there will be some additional equipment that will be required. That's part of it. There's the report itself refers to the expansion of service. So there'll be costs with respect to that. The town of Fort Erie does get a small amount because that's essentially the intermunicipal aspect of it. So this is money that goes to the region, distinct from money that goes to us. I did speak to, in fact, we pay for our link right now. So that should assist us because at some point the region will be taking those costs over. But I know that the, Jonathan Jansen's assistant is here. Was this the question that I had posed that you were listening to as we were, Jonathan and I were speaking? It was another issue. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I should be going through you. I forgot. I don't have the chair.
Is there
Ms. General?
Is that other question relevant to this, Ms. General?
Through you, Chair, to your worship. Could you repeat the question? What was the actual question?
The question that Councillor Nutt had posed had to do with the money that's been provided to the regional Niagara. It's about $15 million, and there's about $135 or $150 thereabouts that's being allocated to the town of Fort Erie portion of intermunicipal transit. I thought as we were hanging outside your door, that was the topic that we were discussing. But it may have been something else of a more arcane nature that I... we were speaking about, but I know it was something that I wanted to give you plenty of advance notice about.
I think it was the mayor's Leafs Capitals prediction.
Okay. Through you, Chair, to your worship. I think I'll have to get additional information for that. I'm not quite sure exactly what you require. I do know that the town, we are receiving some money for our transit.
Yes, we also receive money for transit, and this is separate and distinct.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, Councillor Nutt, but I will try to provide you with some further information. The other interesting thing that occurred to me as well, is that this is a seven-year plan that the region is looking at, and the proposed improvements in our links over that 7 years really are not significant. But if the new hospital is constructed, that means that people from theoretically, as an example, Crystal Beach, would have to go to our hub at the east end of the town to get to the hospital, and that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Beg your pardon? So they only have to go to the town hall as opposed to Walmart. Well, I'm sure that's great solace to somebody in pain and discomfort. So that's another aspect. We need to, I think, be able to impress upon the partners that we need some more direct link from the south end of the community, preferably up to and through Stevensville to Snyder, and then maybe something that can connect us with either Niagara Falls or Welland to meet the needs of not only the students, but people that need medical treatment.
Councilor Knapp.
Thank you, Your Chair. You're absolutely right. And if you think about that the new hospital is going to be on Montrose, that would make the most sense to hit Niagara College and Welland campus and the new hospital.
So absolutely.
Thank you for taking that forward.
Thank you.
And make sure that the schedule coincides with whenever our meetings were broadcast. That's when most people experience that pain and discomfort you were referencing.
And thank you for seconding my amendment.
Councilor Lubert.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My question is to Mayor Redekop. I'm going to support the amendment, but I'm just wondering, you said you, during when you were at the regional meeting, you brought it up as a concern. Did you bring up did you make the amendment there as well?
No, I didn't, because the actual committee isn't going to be established until after the triple majority is reached, and the region then moves forward with this initiative. So that's still part of the planning process, but I was laying the seed.
Councilor Luberts?
All right, thank you very much. Yeah.
So you'll be using the backing of this resolution to assist in your efforts. Yeah. Further comments or questions on the amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the mayor's amendment, that carries. Back to the resolution as amended. Further comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor, that carries. I'll turn the back the chair to his worship.
Thank you, Councillor Pacero. And that takes us to the next resolution, which relates to the National Volunteers Week. Councillor Zankel, you have that resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, whereas 12.7 million Canadian volunteers give their time to help others, contributing close to 2 billion volunteer hours per year. And whereas the collective result of the work done by our volunteers is that the town of Fort Erie is a more desirable place to live. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council proclaims April 23rd to 29th, 2017 as National Volunteer Week, and further that Council expresses their appreciation and gratitude to all volunteers in the town of Fort Erie for their service, dedication, and commitment.
Are there any questions or comments? Those in favor? That is carried unanimously. And before we move on, when we got this, I'm sure we all thought about the number of individuals in our community that volunteer for things, whether it's children or youth activities, whether it's involvement with teens, whether it's helping the elderly or newcomers, whether it's assisting individuals who are ill or seriously ill, visitors, the poor, doing work or things about our community, helping with wildlife or nature or the ecology or environment. And, you know, it's the variety of activities, programs, events, festivals, seminars, exhibits, displays, initiatives, the committees, service clubs, nonprofit organizations that those individuals devote their time and their energy and their dedication and their passion and, in many cases, their expertise. And the resolution speaks quite correctly that it has a significant impact on our community, and Fort Erie wouldn't be the place that it is. I remember, must have been close to 15 years ago that we recognized all the volunteers. It was a provincial initiative, the Year of the Volunteer, and there were 3,000 residents of Fort Erie at the racetrack that were recognized as volunteers. Many of those individuals didn't volunteer for just one activity or organization. They were multiple volunteers with a variety of organizations. We had a room full this evening of individuals, not just the Lions members, but there were other people who were here with Habitat for Humanity and other organizations that volunteer their time. And they go about it quite quietly, and as Councillor Passero had mentioned about the Lions, they don't do it the recognition. They don't do it to be recognized. They do it simply because they want to improve our community. So I think it's quite appropriate that we do this every year and that we are able to recognize our volunteers. That takes us to Councillor Zanko. We have an important resolution. Sorry. You're not Councillor Zanko, you're Councillor Butler.
I don't mind being called Councillor Zanko. She's certainly a very beautiful young lady.
Well done.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott. Whereas the proposed new hospital for Niagara South will be built at the junction of Lions Creek Road and the QEW, and whereas the Niagara Health System is still awaiting final approval by the Ministry of Health, and whereas upon final approval, the new hospital may be built with a target date of 2023 and may be within the projected 8 years from the time when the property was dedicated, and whereas the municipality of Fort Erie currently does not have a hospital within its municipal boundary, and whereas our residents and the residents of Niagara need access to medical care that only a hospital may provide, and whereas the municipality of Fort Erie has experienced higher growth, and whereas the municipality of Fort Erie, along with Niagara South, is anticipating greater growth with the possible addition of tourism, manufacturing, and housing growth, and whereas it is proposed that the new Niagara South Hospital will be a center of excellence for stroke, ophthalmology, complex care, geriatrics, psychogeriatrics, wellness and aging, surgical services, inpatient services, hemodialysis, ambulatory clinics, mental health and addiction services, diagnostic imaging, emergency and urgent care, and whereas it is imperative that the Minister of Finance, Charles Souza, and the Minister of Health, Dr. Eric Hoskins, the President of the Niagara Health System, Suzanne Johnson, understand that a new state-of-the-art medical facility be available to facilitate not only the current needs of the communities, but the anticipated future needs. And whereas waiting another 6 years would have a negative impact to those people living and the more than 14 million annual visitors to Niagara South who rely on and may need proper medical care. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Town of Fort Erie recognizes its responsibility of representing the constituents of the Town of Fort Erie as a steward for access to great medical care and facilities. That the Council of the Town of Fort Erie recognizes the importance of expediting the build of the new Niagara South Hospital. That the Council of the Town of Fort Erie hereby expresses the need to move up timelines for the construction of the Niagara South Hospital build, and that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Minister of Finance, Charles Souza, the Minister of Health, Dr. Eric Hoskins, the President of the Niagara Health System, Suzanne Johnson, the Office of Premier Kathleen Wynne, the Region of Niagara, and local municipalities in Niagara.
Councillor Butler, did you wish to speak to that?
I do. Thank you, Your Worship. The reason I brought this motion up, I have had several discussions, even amongst councillors, with our constituents as well, who are tired of not being able to get the care locally or within less than a 30-minute radius. You know, currently we have great medical professionals in our municipality, but we do not have the needed facilities to take care of our residents. And I think that it's imperative that we start moving forward with an action plan to tell our leaders in the healthcare system that Fort Erie should not be overlooked any further. I think this is a starting point, and I think what we should do is start concentrating on other aspects as well, notably recognizing the fact that once a hospital is built at that specific site, that our urgent care will be closed, and I think that that's unacceptable as well, and that's why I mentioned that this is just a starting point. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you. Any other members of council? Councilor McDermott.
Well, I support this motion. I've been through this battle now for a long, long time with regards to hospitals and UCCs, and I think that this will maybe spark a little action, a little bit more interest. Maybe the press can grab onto this and get us some better time frames. Secondly, Councillor Butler is absolutely correct with regards to what follows next. The fact that we had been pretty much committed to a UCC in Fort Erie, and what we have done up to this point has been really a miracle to keep our UCC 24/7 since the rally that we've had here a long time ago when our healthcare was threatened. We've increased the services, including the palliative care unit. We proved our worth as a center of excellence to the NHS, and I think that they should remember this. So I think that we, as a council, you know, going forward have to be very proactive in moving forward with our plans to what we would see as a perfect scenario for UCC in our community. And we can do that through the committee system. And I know that the mayor is interested in moving this forward, and so is most of council. But I think that we would do our community an injustice if we did not keep our eye on the ball with regards to healthcare. It is the most important issue in this community. We have seniors that require different types of care. Some of it we could do here rather than go to Niagara Falls if there is a will for it. We have young families moving to our community and we're growing by leaps and bounds. We cannot take our eyes off the healthcare price here in Fort Erie. We cannot do it. We can't do it for 2 minutes because the next thing you know, we're looking at more battles down the line. And I think that we have to be very cognizant of what our needs are going to be, and I think our healthcare professionals could tell us that. And I, for one, will help lead that fight because it is in a growing community such as ours, and we don't know what we're going to look like 10 years from now or 6 years from now, but we're going to be more people, more in need, and I think we have to be right on top of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Any other councillors? The CAO and I have received some draft terms of reference for a committee with respect to health services. There had been a committee at the previous council, and there have been committees going back as far as I can remember in terms of community health and wellness. So that I fully expect that within the next a month or so that there will be something before us with respect to setting up a committee of that nature to pursue protecting and advancing the needs, the healthcare needs of the residents of Fort Erie. So this is a timely resolution. Mr. Russ Wilson and Mr. Cookett and I are scheduled to meet with the Lynn May the 3rd. We had a previous meeting with the Lynn, well as we've had some meetings with the NHS. Councillor McDermott, your comments are absolutely correct. Councillor Butler, your concerns are absolutely correct. If we don't take the steps necessary to ensure that the health care needs of the residents of this community are met, there's no one outside of Fort Erie that's going to do that. And we've learned that. It's been a hard lesson that we've been learning last 25 years back to the days when there was Niagara District Health Council that held a boisterous meeting at St. Paul's facility, I think around 1995. And so this is a good start. It's just a start. We have a lot of work to do and as good a place as any to raise the flag to let people of Fort Erie know and the healthcare providers in Niagara know that. So if there aren't any other questions or comments, I'll call the question. All those in favor of Councillor Butler's resolution, none opposed, that is carried. That takes us to the bylaws. Are there any bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? Sorry. Are there any notices of motion? Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good thing I have such a helpful body around me. That takes us into consideration of bylaws. If there are no bylaws to be removed from the bylaw package, Councillor Passero, you have the resolution for first and second reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that the bylaw package containing 35-2017 to enact an amendment to the official plan adopted by bylaw number 150-06 for the Town of Fort Erie Planning Area Amendment number 34, Bowen Road Industrial Lands, Town of Fort Erie, 36-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, Bowen Road, change to site-specific dry industrial, 37-2017, to exempt certain lots in Plan 59M-390 from part lot control, Village Creek Subdivision, Phase 2, 3981 and 3985 Village Creek Drive, 800547 Ontario Limited and Lentition, 38-2017, to appoint Jessica Goodings as a fire prevention officer, fire prevention inspector, and municipal law enforcement officer for the Town of Fort Erie, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for questions or comments. If there are none, then I'll go to Councillor Nutt for third and final reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaws 35-2017, 36-2017, 37-2017, 38-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and the Clerk under the corporate seal.
Questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 39-2017 to confirm the action of Council at its meeting held on April 10, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor McDermott, third and final reading for that bylaw.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 39-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corpus seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And if I go back to my schedule, I will note that there is a heading for scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings that anyone wishes to announce? Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a strategic planning meeting under customer service and communications, and that's going to take place here at the Town Hall tomorrow in conference room 1, I believe, at 5:30.
Any other meetings? Zero.
If I could I ask Councillor Butler to just reiterate where people can get tickets for Party on the Patio, just recognizing that there are people who only tune into Kojiko to hear Councillor not read the motion to adjourn. So if they're just joining us now, where can people get tickets for Party on the Patio, Councillor Butler?
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship, and Councillor Passero. You can get tickets at Eventbrite by searching Party on the Patio Fire and Ice. And you can also get tickets through myself. You can reach me at 905-246-4805, or you can contact us by email, and that email address is partyonthepatio@outlook.com. It's surely going to be a very hot night, and as our slogan says, surround yourself with cool friends. We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Any other meetings? There is a transit, the first Transit Advisory Committee meeting takes place tomorrow at the Town Hall at 1:30. So if there are no other meetings to announce, that takes us then to, The next Council meeting, I'm advised by the CAO, is not next Monday, which is Easter Monday. It will be next Tuesday, which is April the 18th. So for all of you keen watchers, Monday you have a holiday. It's Tuesday, you'll have to tune in. Councillor Nutt.
Pardon
you
me,
have
Councilor
the final
Pizarro?
Resolution.
I do. This is everybody's favorite part of the meeting.
It is indeed.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Zenko, that Council adjourns at 8:17 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on April 24th, 2017.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you, folks.